This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigobon. Joining me as usual in studio, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
Good. Joining us remotely, former Toronto Maple Leaf, former Washington Capital, Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Great day to be alive, isn't it?
It certainly is. Just to let our listeners know, later on in the hour, we're going to be talking about online sports gambling again. The Alcohol and Gaming Commission in Ontario is doing an in-depth look into it and with some proposed regulations. So we've got one of the esteemed experts in the field who's been making representation on behalf of the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, Dr. Nigel Turner, who's a professor at the University of Toronto, one of the leading experts in this whole field. I'm sure he's going to have some interesting comments about what I call the scourge of online gambling. Later on in the hour, perhaps a more pleasant topic, the Canadian Open is going to be at Oakdale, June 6th to the 11th. For me, coming to Oakdale is like coming home. I've never been so excited about a Canadian Open as this year's Canadian Open. And who better to talk to than the Chief Executive Officer of Golf Canada, Lawrence Applebaum. We look forward to that. Gentlemen, a week's gone by.
Start your engines. Indy 500's today too, right?
The Formula, apparently the Formula One race just started. Our producer just told us in Monaco. So lots going on, but a week's gone by and the Toronto Maple Leafs still don't have a general manager. Word has it that Cal Dubas is in the last throes of negotiating a contract with the Pittsburgh Penguins. A lot of names being bandied about in Toronto. The former Calgary GM, help me out here, Tree Living, appears to be the top candidate. Other names are floating out there as well, but we still don't have a GM. Naz, when are we going to have a GM and who's it going to be?
Nothing happens in the NHL until Dubas decides, Wally, and that's 100% sure.
That's the first shoe that's got to drop?
Yeah, first shoe that drops, and they're all going to fall into place.
Well, it looks like if Dubas wants to be a general manager, Pittsburgh seems to be his landing spot. Lou?
Gentlemen, I think I mentioned it to you that this was in the works a long time before this was all started. There was rumors even before the Leafs got knocked out that the Dubas had one foot in out the door and one foot in Pittsburgh. It was just going to be a matter of time, and the guy that was going to replace him was Brad Treliving from Calgary, because he is really the only one that fits the mold to run this organization in the sense that it's a corporate organization, and he's worked with people in Calgary that are familiar with MLSC and also the heat that everybody takes with running this organization. Mind you, I've talked to some individual this weekend, or not this weekend, but this week, and there's a name out there that nobody's ever thought about that put the Chicago Blackhawks on the mark in the 2008-2007 season. His name is Dale Talon.
Oh, I actually had that discussion with a good friend of mine two nights ago. And Dale Talon was instrumental in putting together those great Chicago Blackhawk teams.
Yes, he was.
Also did some fine work down in Florida as well, if I recall correctly, back in the day. The only issue that came up when we were discussing Dale Talon is, you know, he age-wise, he's getting a little up there. Do you really want to start with a GM that What he's got to be like pushing 70, isn't he? Or in his early 70s? He would have been, when he was playing with those Marley teams,
yeah,
got drafted
he's
70, in 1970.
70, 71 years old.
He would have been 20 years old in 1970.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So do you really want to start? Oh, mind you, we had Lamorello, who was that age. But certainly an interesting thought on that one. Actually came up in a, like I said, came up in a conversation with a good friend of mine the other night as well. I actually came up with that name. I said, you know what? Let's have a look at Dale Talon. Let me throw, you know, Tree Living appears to be the top candidate right now. There's a bunch of other assistant GMs around the league, probably more known for number crunching and being familiar with computer algorithms and perhaps evaluating hockey talent. But it's going to be an interesting week because I think they got to come up with a general manager pretty soon, Naz, don't you think?
I think by middle of the week it's going to happen. That's what I think.
Let me throw a couple of, and then we also got the issue about the coach. And I'm not seeing that many scenarios where Sheldon Keefe's back as the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm just a new GM's probably going to want to create a new environment. You know, we use the buzzword culture. Probably it's going to be sort of a fresh start. So I don't see Sheldon Keefe being around, with all due respect for him, and I hope the Leafs are fair to him. If that writing is on the wall, then they should get on with
it. I have a feeling he'll be back.
As the coach?
Yeah, I do.
Why do you say that, Naz?
I just have this gut feeling, that's all. But
you got me concerned here because your gut's usually pretty good. Yeah. Why would Lou?
He just proved it. He's been the winningest coach in the Leafs history.
Right? Lou? Winningest coach in the Leafs history.
No, there's no way he comes back. Whether it's Brad or whether it's Dale or anybody like that, and if it is Dale, I think they're going to bring in an understudy, so they might learn from Dale for maybe on a two-year deal, and then he'll replace Dale. But I can't see Sheldon Keefe coming back, not with the quality of assistant coaches out there that can come in fresh with this team. Not an older guy, and again, I'll bring up the name, Andrew Burnett, who took the Florida Panthers last year after Joel Quenneville got suspended and took that franchise to the President's Trophy team.
Yeah, let me throw, since you're on the topic of Quenneville, and the word is out there that he's meeting or has met with Gary Bettman with a view to being reinstated. And apparently, that particular line of reasoning may apply to Stan Bowman as well. So I don't know how quickly that's going to happen. My guess, it's not going to happen quickly enough for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But if Stan Bowman and Joel Quenneville by the middle of this week were available, and NHL chooses to reinstate them,
They're both in their late 60s, Wally, so they're not getting any younger with those guys around. I think they got to stay with the younger guy for sure and move on from there.
But one of the important things that Brendan Shanahan said, he's looking for experience.
And general manager, he said that.
Yeah.
Not his coach.
Quenneville's a winner.
Yeah, but Mike Babcock was a winner, too, and look what happened to him. And they're both out of the same clock.
I think you're beating me this time on this argument, Naz.
Okay.
I got a tough time arguing. Maybe I'll play devil's advocate a little bit more, but your logic is impeccable. I will defer to Naz on this one. Lou?
Again, I'm not sure if it's
going to
be
over now, Lou. Show's over now.
I'm not sure whether it's going to be Bowman as GM, only because of the delicate situation.
I think that's the bigger problem. I cannot see MLSC taking the PR hit that they would have to take. It's not the way they run their organization. They're run by Bell and Rogers, that they have certain, I don't know if you use the word standards, but I don't think they would want to have to deal with that baggage. Reinstated or not reinstated, I just don't think Bell and Rogers are gonna put their nose in the middle of that.
Why is Keith not been let go yet then? If he was going to get let go, why wouldn't he get let go with all those AHL guys and all the
raise a really good question, Naz.
Why?
I don't have an answer to that, but if they end up do letting him go, I think they've been unfair to him. They should have taken care of it right away. Because, as you say, the shoes are going to drop really quickly in a lot of different areas. And if you're not going to keep Sheldon Keefe, you should have let him go. So then, when the opportunities come available, he can get in the mix of filling whatever opportunities come available. Lou,
again, his contract runs out at the end of the month. So really, unless they replace him, he's stuck.
No, he's got one more year after this.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. He's got an option year.
When Keefe signed his contract, it was right at the end of Dubas's term. So, matter of fact, they were both going to go at the same time. Now, you're absolutely right in the sense that they should give him some time if they're going to let him go. But there's a lot of good quality coaches out there, so I don't see there being a problem of Sheldon Keefe landing on his feet if the Leafs do drag their feet in hiring a coach. But I think the GM is going to be the first guy to be hired, and then he's going to pick his coach, because really they don't need a head coach in place for the draft coming up. They just need a GM. Mind you, they've only got two picks, I think, this year in the draft.
No, first round, three.
Yeah.
So it's really not going to matter. They got Washington's first round pick.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the GM is going to pick the coach. I mean, that's the way it works.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they have to have a good – the GM and the coach have to be on the same –
The guys coming in may know Keefe, though. That's the thing, right? They may know him.
Well, I guess that will play itself out. We've got a couple of minutes before we go to break. And, Lou, I want to get your thoughts on something, because we're gonna let you go at the first break. We'll move on to other topics. An incident happened in the game the other night between Dallas and Vegas. Happened right at the very first couple of minutes of the game. I'm talking about the Jamie Benn incident. And Naz and I were looking at it again on tape this morning. And I'm sort of astounded that he only got two games for that. I mean, you look at that. He could have ended Mark Stone's career. It was a vicious, vicious cross-check to a defenseless player that was already on the ice. And is that what gets you two games nowadays? I mean, after looking at that, he should have been out for the remainder of the playoffs and the first 20 games next year. Tell me how crazy I am, Lou.
You're not crazy at all. It was a vicious attack. But again, who's running this league? You know, we don't know, because there's so much inconsistency in league suspensions during the regular season and the playoffs. I know Jamie Benn isn't that type of player, and he more or less lost it for a matter of seconds when he took out Stone. Frustration built up, probably. But again, at the end of the day, the inconsistencies of who's running the suspensions and the penalties that are being called, and the way the game is being called nowadays, it's got to be mind-baffling to a lot of
two
people in the National Hockey League.
And I got to be honest with you, Lou, I found his press conference almost more reprehensible. If you actually watch what he said, and Naz, I'll ask you to comment on this. He says, a highly emotional moment. And then he says, he obviously would have liked not to have fallen on Mark Stone. Jamie, you didn't fall on him. You jumped him.
Cross-checked him.
You know? And then it was unfortunate he used his stick as a landing point. I would have given him 10 games just for those comments. He didn't own up to the act, which was...
Now he gets to play game six.
Right? I don't know what they were thinking down in New York on that one, but I'm glad you agree with me, Lou, because, you know, I may be the Monday morning quarterback here, and you're the guy who's played a tough game. I just found that entirely, you know, it's very lucky Mark Stone didn't get seriously injured. It just luck, as far as I'm concerned. Talking about referees. Carolina and Florida are playing in a deciding game. And they decide to give Florida, they give Carolina that penalty with about a minute and a half left in the game. Lou, Come on.
Again, we've talked about it all year. The inconsistency of the refereeing, and it's really unfortunate that that some of these games are being decided by the referee's calls. Because for a player, that's the worst thing that can possibly happen. Because we sweat our, you know what?
Yeah, you know, you don't have to go any further.
Game, okay. And for a referee to decide a hockey game after what we've gone through, and even the three or four periods of overtime and all that stuff, for a referee to decide a penalty on a certain call because it is where it is whenever it happened, and the inconsistencies of a referee are just for management, for coaches, for players, it is really tough to bear sometimes because it shouldn't be like that. The players should decide the game and not the referees.
Anyways, on that note, Lou, we thank you for joining us for our hockey discussion. We're going to let you go. We're going to talk a little. We're going to talk with Dr. Nigel Turner as soon as we come back from the break, and we're going to talk about online sports gambling. Thanks, Lou. Talk to you soon. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville declared, "We'll never be the fastest. We'll never be the cheapest. We'll never be the snazziest dressed."
What?
Yeah, my point is, we want to be the best. At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza. Stone-baked, the traditional Italian way.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian, authentically Italian.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are two ways to argue sports with these guys, and none of them work. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM. Live video and audio streaming on the internet at zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, Naz and Wally Sports Hour, Dr. Nigel Turner. Dr. Turner is an independent scientist at the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, otherwise known as CAMH, and is also an assistant professor at the University of Toronto. And he's assisting CAMH in the forefront of urging the Ontario government to ban advertising during sports broadcasting. Dr. Turner, welcome and thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Doctor, bring us up to speed. I know the Alcohol and Gaming Commission for Ontario appears to be having a serious look at what I call the scourge of online gambling. It looks like the government's starting to take a serious look at the consequences of what's going on.
Yes, well, I mean, this is quite a shift in Ontario from
2 years ago, there was hardly any advertisement for sports gambling. Then a year ago, it was legalized, and we've been flooded with it ever since. And now they're beginning to look at seriously whether this is too much. And I'm of the opinion that we've gone too far into the excessive advertising of sports gambling.
How much of an influence does the advertising today have on gambling?
Well, two, three years ago, the number one reason people called the Problem Gambling Helpline on Ontario was for slot machines. That's been replaced by online gambling in the past year, and the that switch occurred basically after April last year.
Is there any movement amongst the online gambling companies themselves to sort of do a little bit better job of self-regulating?
I'm not aware of any efforts by the online gambling industry, the gambling industry. After all, they have a vested interest in advertising as much as possible, which is their legal right to do. You know, that's what they want to do. This is why I think it's important for the government to step in and say, okay, this is when you can advertise, this is when you can't, and how much advertisement is appropriate, and so on.
How much, Dr. Turner, how much does online gambling, obviously the area that we're most concerned about is the effect on our children and our youth, who are very susceptible, obviously, to pitches by people like Connor McDavid and by Austin Matthews and by Wayne Gretzky and Chris Pronger and all the other celebrities that have found it, I guess, in their interest to promote online gambling. How much of an influence does that actually have on our youth?
Well, celebrities, people, these are sports heroes. They are people who have a strong influence over our youth. And so there is a potential that they are, by appearing and promoting these gambling sites, they are making, normalizing online gambling, and they're encouraging it. And, it's all about limits because, gambling is fine as entertainment goes, but it is also risky. You can lose a lot of money, and there are people who have lost their life savings gambling. So it has to be balanced out, that risk. And I think the celebrity endorsements of the online gambling are excessive, and they're not properly counterbalanced with enough messaging about the risks of gambling.
Doesn't it start with the Ontario and federal government with their lotteries, and the addiction starts there and then it continues? Shouldn't the governments cut down the advertising?
Yes. There should be limits on how much advertising and the content of the advertising. The thing is with sports betting is, it is so heavily advertised for the past year, and the use of celebrities and the illusion that there's lots of winning and there's fun and excitement to be had, I think it's excessive. But I think, gambling ads in general should follow certain rules, not to, like we have rules about alcohol, that you can't make alcohol look like it's, the most fun thing to do in the world.
I know Cam H. I'm sure there's a lot of stories down there. It's Canada's largest mental health teaching hospital. Down on Queen Street in Toronto. We call it CAMH. It's a Center for Addiction and Mental Health. I'm sure there's a lot of, we see advertisements all the time, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. So on that side of it, we've fought back and we've made it socially unacceptable. I'm not naive to think that gambling is going to disappear. It's not going to disappear. It's always been there, and it's always going to be around. It's just a question of how you regulate it.
Yes, but and, there, and, and
Go ahead. Sorry.
Appropriate limits on how much marketing there is. I agree with you that gambling is a fact of life. People enjoy gambling. It is a great entertainment, and I have no problem with people gambling as long as they know what they're getting into. That it's for entertainment. It's fun. But it's a way to lose money. It's a way to spend money. It's not a way to make money.
Yeah, I'd always say when you go to Vegas and you drop in on the plane and the plane's landing and you see all those huge billion-dollar buildings, I go, they didn't build those buildings by people leaving Vegas with more money than they came in with.
That's right.
You know, but I'm not naive. Gambling isn't going anywhere. It exists and it's not going to disappear. It's just a question how to regulate. But doctor, what sort of gets, I wouldn't say lost in the discussion, but, you know, and I have these conversations with friends of mine and, you know, and we say, well, it doesn't impact me. I'm a responsible gambler. And, you know, most people, I guess, probably are responsible gamblers and it's entertainment. But whether we like it or not, there's massive societal costs to this. So if we're not losing money in the casino or we're not losing money on a game, I'm paying for it some other way and probably paying it through taxes in one way or the other. But I'm sure you've come across a lot of, and you know, we don't really hear the stories of lives that are ruined, and there's tens of thousands. How are lives ruined? Just give us some stories. Let's humanize this. You know, go ahead, please.
Well, I'm trying to think of any specific stories.
Yeah.
But I've interviewed people who have lost $500,000 gambling. Frequently, people go in gambling. They initially start out at low levels of gambling a few dollars. They have some fun. They win, and this gives them this notion that they can win. They can make money at this, and gradually, they become more and more involved in gambling. I know this one person. He came in to the Niagara casinos when it first opened, and he won some money, and then so he kept coming back day after day, and pretty soon he was thousands of dollars in debt, and he had put this he'd gotten the money from cash advances on his credit card, so you know he had to take a day off to wait for the credit card bill to come because he didn't want his wife to see the credit card bill. And that's at the fairly mild end of things. Suicide is a common outcome from gambling because people know what they've done. They've done it to themselves, and you know, in the moment, in the excitement, because they all believe they're going to win, right? They're going to win back what they've lost. In the excitement, they will gamble away thousands of dollars. When they run out of money, they're hit with the cold reality. They got to pay this off somehow. And some people, they feel the only way out of this, the mess they've made of their lives, is to commit suicide. So suicide is actually quite a common outcome from gambling.
Sorry, go ahead, please.
There are other consequences. People will chase their losses. People get second and third and fourth and fifth mortgages. They very well may end up in prison because of the fraud involved in getting all those extra loans and mortgages. Something like 20% of people in prison have a moderate to severe gambling problem. That's a very high percentage. In the general population, it's about 0.5% of the population have a severe problem gambling problem. In the correctional system, it's a very high percentage. So, and one of the reasons is that some people will get into a life of crime because it's the only way out, right? Some people go to suicide, some people go to crime. People will rob stores to get the instant scratch tickets so that they can try to win back what they've already lost. In terms of sports, there was this one person who was in prison because he got in debt to his bookie from betting on sports, And his bookie made him an offer. He was a big guy, big, strong guy. So this bookie made him an offer. You can work it off for as a collection agent. So he became the collecting the debts for his bookie. And he was in prison for severe, you know, for aggravated assault. So there are actually a lot of stories like that in the correctional system of people who used crime as an attempt to get out of their debts. So those are two outcomes. Divorce is a common outcome. Disruptions in their job because people aren't working. Embezzlement. People have been known to embezzle millions of dollars in order to cover their gambling losses. There's a few movie out a few years ago called Owning Mahoney. It's based on a true story of a Toronto banker who got into debt from betting on sports. And his motivation was he didn't want to get cut off by his bookies. Not that the bookie was threatening, but he didn't want to get cut off from gambling. So he started giving himself loans as a bank officer and racked up about $10 million embezzled in order to pay his debt so that he could keep gambling.
In Europe, they had this a long time ago, online gambling. And what are the...
In England, yes.
In England. Has everything scaled back in the way of advertising there, or is something happening?
Yeah, they started... there were enough public complaints about it, complaints from the treatment sector as well, that they've started cutting back on it. It took them a while, but in 2019, they started... introducing more regulations to reduce the amount of advertisement, and I'm not sure at where they've got in their changes. But one of the proposals they had last year, and they did this about the same time Ontario was opening up its gambling advertisement. They whistle-to-whistle ban on advertisements, a ban on the celebrities before 9 p.m. I even heard one proposal that they were going to total ban on celebrities and advertisements for sports betting, but I'm not sure exactly what the rules they have currently in place. As I said, this is they also banned use of credit cards on online gambling sites again to reduce the harm of gambling.
Before I let you go, Dr. Turner. You know, the whole thing about gambling, and we were just talking about how people get hooked. There's a chemical reason, isn't there? We've got something that's called something that provides us pleasure. It's a brain chemical called dopamine.
Yeah,
and that's also it provides pleasure, but and it can ruin lives as well. Tell us about what happened physically, at what actually happens to a gambler.
Okay, well, the way it works is our bodies are designed to learn from experience. If we experience something that is pleasurable, a good outcome, our brain changes its chemistry. Dopamine causes a learning connection. It strengthens the connection between certain pathways in the brain. And our brain's really good at learning. It's terrible at unlearning. So that once you've learned a new behavior, such as gambling or drug use, it's difficult to unlearn that. And so this is why people get stuck in an addiction, that they have a great experience gambling, and it is a lot of fun, winning especially.
Yeah.
But once they get hooked on this, it's difficult to unlearn. And I often say... the worst thing that can happen to you, you go in gambling and you win the first time, because that gives you an unrealistic expectation. It also makes your brain learn the wrong thing. Instead of learning, okay, this is fun, but, you know, I'm going to lose, your brain learns, this is fun, let's keep doing this. And your brain's kind of stupid, because your brain doesn't realize long-term outcome of gambling is losing. So your brain circuitry learns this pathway that leads to this dopamine rush, and it feels great, and your brain is too stupid to actually know that, okay, I got to cut back, or I got to limit how much I'm going to do this.
We've been talking to Dr. Nigel Turner. Dr. Turner is one of the most respected and leading scientists in this whole field of gambling. Dr. Turner, we'll leave this. We'll leave you for today, and we can all we'll ask you to do is keep up your fantastic work, and we hope and we hope you're very successful in what you're trying to accomplish, and what CAMH is trying to accomplish in regulating online gambling. We thank you very much for today, and we thank you very much for all of your work.
Thank you for having me on.
Dr. Nigel Turner. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll have the CEO of Golf Canada, Lawrence Applebaum. The Canadian Open is in a couple of weeks. I'm absolutely thrilled, and golf fans around the country are getting excited. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville declared,
"We'll never be the fastest. We'll never be the cheapest. We'll never be the snazziest dressed."
What?
Yeah, my point is, we want to be the best.
At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza. Stone-baked, the traditional Italian way.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian, authentically Italian.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
From face-offs to playoffs, field goals to own goals, you're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, and live video and audio streaming on the internet at zoomerradio.ca. We're thrilled to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour the Chief Executive Officer of Golf Canada, Lawrence Applebaum. Lawrence, thank you for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having me. It's an amazing story. Beautiful sunny day, a perfect day for golf. So thank you for inviting me to the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. My golf day is actually Saturdays. Feeling a bit stiff this morning. Didn't have a great round yesterday, Lawrence. The course was a little bit tough on me, but our listeners don't really want to listen to my golf game.
Was there a shot that brought you back? Well,
there always is, Lawrence. You know that. There's always a shot in a round of golf, maybe two or three, that says, you know what, I think I can do that for 70 shots around, but unfortunately, it never happens. Lawrence, we've got a huge event coming up at Oakdale Golf and Country Club. We're almost there. I've been waiting for this for a long time. I've never been as excited about a Canadian Open for personal reasons. I caddied at Oakdale in the mid-60s. I've got a lot of history there. It's a fabulous golf course, and it's going to be a fabulous event. And it's June 6th to 11th. For our listeners, give us a little summary of what they can expect.
Well, I think it's really nice to hear that personal connection that you have, and that
interestingly, so many people have been coming up to me in the preceding few months, and it's been a long time coming for us. I know this is a golf course that for many people might not be totally familiar with, but it's almost a hundred-year-old golf course in the heart of Toronto called Oakdale Golf and Country Club. We had a chance to be there last week for a pre-event, and a couple of our best Canadians, Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes, had a chance to play a practice round, and both remarked at the just incredible shape that it's in. I mean, really, we're lucky at this time of year. Things have popped, and so it's looking lush and green. And along with our friends at the PGA Tour, we've put together a composite 18 holes. So Oakdale has 27 holes, and for a major national championship such as ours, we build a specific bespoke 18 holes that we hope will challenge the best players in the world when they come to Toronto. So for the RBC Canadian Open, we'll have this amazing 18 holes that hasn't been played in tournament play ever, and we're looking to welcome more than 125,000 people to the grounds of Oakdale for the RBC Canadian Open.
Seven Canadian players have PGA cards. That's the most ever. Are you surprised at how good we are in golf right now?
Well, my mother said never to correct a host when you're in their home, so I hate to say it, but I'm going to have to correct you. And we actually have nine guys with PGA Tour cards at the moment. And we have a couple of guys who are actually on the cusp of breaking through. So if you want to be technical, it's eight official, one without an injury exemption. But we have I really appreciate the question because the point is a really good one. We're in sort of a golden age, in particular on the men's side. That's not ignoring our amazing women like Brooke Henderson and Maddie Zurich and Elena Sharp and Motomi LeBlanc, who are doing great on the LPGA Tour. But as we said, you know, nearly there's someone nearly on the leaderboard every single weekend. And very nicely, we probably saw the best example of it last weekend at the PGA Championship, where we had three Canadians in the top 10 over the weekend. We had Corey really fighting it out for the title, and then we had both Adam Svensson and Taylor Pendrith, who were playing great golf. And unfortunately, Sunday wasn't what any of them were hoping it would be, but it was another good memory and got a good experience to put into their toolbox. But we're experiencing just a great moment for Canadian golf on the global tours right now, and we're going to see all of them, if not I hope all of them, playing great at Oakdale in 10 days time.
We're talking to Lawrence Applebaum, the CEO of Golf Canada. Oakdale has never hosted the Canadian Open as far as I'm aware, but it does have it, as you said, Lawrence, it's got an incredible history, wanted to take the history of two of the most prominent names in the history of Canadian golf, perhaps one of the greatest ball strikers of all time, have a history at Oakdale, George Knutson and Wolf Hominuk. I actually, if you can believe this one, Lawrence, I was 9 years old at the time, got the opportunity to shag balls twice for George Knutson one summer. Just a memory beyond belief. So Oakdale does have a history also of having George Knutson there. He was an assistant pro there when he was on the tour in the mid-60s. Wolf Hominuk was one of the greats of Canadian golf. Tell us about the history of the spirit that George and Wolf have left behind at Oakdale.
Yeah, it's a great comment because golf as a sport is one that has a lot of history and tradition, and we're actually spending a lot of time on sort of both ends of that time continuum, I guess I would say, which is bringing so many new people to the game and bringing so many young people and women and diverse cultures to golf, but also recognizing where things began and how things started. And maybe I'll start with Wilf in that he was on the range last Wednesday when we had our event, and
awesome.
You know this sweet gentleman comes over, a little sparkle in his eye, and I had about 4 minutes to get ready, and so I just tried to hit a couple wedges, and I felt like the eye of God looking at me. You know, he was just looking at me and made a couple comments, which were both spot on, of course. And it was really nice to chat with him briefly and to talk about. And that day I had seen a few pictures of him in his earlier days, and it was a very neat and well-known story amongst the club that Lee Trevino, Wilf allowed Lee Trevino to room with him in some of the early barnstorming days when he was on the Canadian tour. And Lee's mentioned whenever he was around that, you know, if it wasn't for Wilf, he wouldn't have had the career he had, which is really high praise. Fast forward a little bit to George Knutson, and you talk about shagging balls from him. You probably didn't have to move.
No, I didn't have to move very far. I didn't have to move very far at all.
go out to this yardage and, you know, just put a blanket down and, you know, gather him up. He was an amazing man, a great ball striker, as you said. And, you know, part of the folklore is that he played so nicely. He was assistant pro. A bunch of members put some money together and said, go represent yourself, go represent your family, go represent the club, and really launched his ability to play on tour. Because at that time, it was, if you weren't playing well, it was costing you money, and you really weren't able to live, you know, a full-time existence. So the membership, that's kind of one of those anecdotes that just shows over and over how the culture at the club, the family goal, sort of values, the support that is so wonderful about Oakdale. And as I am so excited for on the CBS broadcast and the TSN broadcast, to be able to have that hospitality and warmth come through on the broadcast.
Interesting enough, you mentioned the family aspect of the club. The one thing I sort of remember more than anything, or as much as anything from those days, this was the 1960s, and there were just as many women playing golf there as men in those days. And quite frankly, I usually caddied more for women than for men in the mid-1960s. That they were way ahead of their time when it came to equality.
Wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know that fact.
Yeah, they had this great woman golfer, Edie Creed, won the Ontario Women's Amateur, or she used to win it almost every year. So women were on the course all the time, and they used to let caddies play. You imagine this. They used to let us play on Monday mornings, and we had to tee off early, but they actually used to let the caddies play. And I'll remember that forever, the graciousness. Anyways, I want to get to the tournament this year. Let's talk about the present. There's, you know, last year's tournament at St. George's was phenomenal. I thought it was one of the great tournaments, one of the great Canadian Opens ever. The excitement was incredible. What happened on the 18th hole last year was Tiger-esque at East Lake. Tell us a little bit about the field, Lawrence. I'm sure Rory's back, and tell us who else we. I think Tommy Fleetwood's coming. Just let our listeners know the great talent that's coming in.
Yeah, well, listen, I'd love to walk you through some of the champions, major champions, and best players in the world, but I'll start with your story about, you know, caddies.
Yeah,
and this is just one great evolution of what we talk about in the game is. You know, you talk about, you know, they're so fortunate. You, as a caddy, you were allowed to play on Monday. Fast forward to the Canadian Open, and we have a partner called Levelware. And Levelware is an apparel partner. They're our official retailer, official apparel partner. And they have put the caddy lounge on site so that all caddies have a place to go, a place to hang out, a place to feel welcomed. They set up a little barbershop for them. They
fantastic.
Set up a little,
you got to invite me, Lawrence. You got to invite me to Caddyland.
They must have the best stories, eh?
Can you do two loops on Monday and Tuesday? Maybe we'll have you out there.
only if I can use pull carts.
Well, so it's just a wonderful thing that the caddies have. We really make sure that they have a great experience. So back to the players. Let's start at the top. You've got two-time returning champion and proverbial number one player in the world who's in great form, which is Rory McIlroy. And I will tell you, you know, I've had a chance to work in golf for a while and other sports in my career. And this guy, to see him live, he just has it. You know, whether you're talking about the greats in any sport, he just has it. There's a hop and a step and a buzz around him and an aura that this guy has. He's a nice human. He's caring. He's kind. And he's an absolute dominator on the golf course. So to see Rory, who's, you know, he's less than 6 feet for sure, to see him be able to put the ball out there regularly, 320, 330, with control and with just this trajectory that is unbelievable. So we're so excited to have Rory back. He feels like Canada is a second home for him. And we're excited to really have him. And then immediately I'll probably go to our great Team RBC players. And RBC has put together a group of players that are second to none. You know, it starts with some of their major champions, like Webb Simpson, who, you know, always plays well here. He's probably not first and foremost on people's minds at the moment. But we've got players like Matt Kuchar and Sam Burns and Cameron Young and Sahith Theegala, who gained some notoriety in the Netflix series. You've also got other players on Team RBC that are very familiar to us in Canada, which are our Canadian players, Corey Connors, Mackenzie Hughes, Nick Taylor, Adam Hadwin, and now Adam Svensson. And the thematic with all those players is they've all won on the PGA Tour. And then you get into a little bit more some of the special players that maybe golfers like yourselves know, would recognize, major champions like Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, and we may even have a couple more that are going to be announced in the coming days, but we're super excited. Best players in the world, some of the hottest golfers, and then also all our Canadians being on with home soil advantage will be really special.
Which golfer do you think is going to be challenging of the Canadian players for this tournament?
Well, I think that both Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes, I mean, maybe it's recency bias, but I think they've both been playing exceptionally well and are comfortable in these big moments. That being said, I'm gonna sound like a real homer, but Nick Taylor is having his best year on tour, and then the young guy who probably the two young guys who probably people talk about their games a lot would be Adam Svensson, who can compete with the best in the world, and Taylor Pendrith, who's as long as anybody in the world. So it's hard for me to hard for me to say which is your favorite child, but all those guys and I couldn't forget Adam Hadwin, because Adam just plays well at the Canadian Open. So he just usually has his best stuff. So I think we have my hope is that we'll probably have with our some of our high-performance amateurs and juniors who we get who have qualified. We have a bunch of Canadians who qualified. We'll likely have close to 20 Canadians teeing it up. And my personal hope is we see 10 of them that make it into the weekend, and that we have one or two in the mix on Saturday and Sunday. That would be something very, very special for us to be able to watch.
That would be absolutely phenomenal. Lawrence, it's not just the golf tournament. It's an event. So there's all kinds of different things happening. There's a concert series. Tell us a concept called Fairway. You're going to have the penalty box again, the boards again this year. Tell us about some of the off-the-fairway activities.
Yeah, that's great. Well, maybe we'll start there. Back in 2017, we started with a concept called The Rink on a par three. We put together, we put boards up and uniformed the officials in referee jerseys. And every year we layered onto it, and it's become quite a bit of a cult following. It'll be on the number 14 hole at Oakdale. It's going to have probably close to 15,000 people who've already bought tickets in hospitality, and we know that this is a really popular one. We'll have our broadcast team and our radio teams out there who will be producing content live. So the rink is really exciting. And then on Friday and Saturday night, RBCX Music Series continues, and we'll be putting on a show of the Black Eyed Peas on Friday night.
Wow.
And Alanis Morissette on Saturday night, which both those concerts are included with your daily ticket. So, you know, some of the things that we really try and do with the event, we wanted to make it, as you said, entertainment, sports and entertainment. We want core golfers to be able to enjoy it, but also sports fans and maybe new fans. And so we always want to tell people, come early, stay late. And if you have a young person in your household, kids 12 and under come free with an adult. So it's a really, if you haven't seen professional golf, it's like 5 miles of front row seats. It just keeps moving, and you find a great spot and you enjoy it, and really encourage everyone to come out.
Well, it certainly is a fantastic time in Canadian golf. Like I said, for me, it's like coming home. Next year, we have the President's Cup and at Royal Montreal. We've got a whole bunch of Canadians that are in the mix to be on that team. So what an incredible, incredible time in Canadian golf. It's all going to start June the 6th. Not going to start, but the Canadian Open this year starts on June the 6th at Oakdale Golf and Country Club. Lawrence, can I presume that if people are interested, tickets are still available?
Yeah, we're closing in on a sellout for the weekend right now already. So Friday's close, Saturday's closer. What's always interesting for me is Sunday. Sundays sometimes, you know, what is my favorite day, the closing and the finish like we had last year. You talked about we had some boisterous fans who really enjoyed being very close to the activity. Tickets are available. You can go to rbccanadianopen.com. We have great program. I would really encourage people, if you're in the GTA or just outside of it, I know your signal goes pretty deep.
Yeah.
Please come down to Oakdale. We've got great transportation. It's public transportation. It's easy in and out. So please come and enjoy us. We look forward to seeing everyone at the RBC Canadian Open.
We've been talking to Lawrence Applebaum, the CEO of Golf Canada. Lawrence, we can't thank you enough. It's always a passion of mine to talk golf on the show. Naz has a feeling. And when Naz has a feeling, he's right quite a bit of the time. He's got a feeling a Canadian's going to win the Canadian Open this year.
Well, I like it. I like it. Who's your pick?
Corey Connors, for sure. He's
right.
In form.
Okay.
That would just be awesome.
If he can putt, awesome. We're in it.
Anyways, all Lawrence, right. Sorry, go ahead. I'll let you wrap it up.
Yeah, no, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful choice, and I love hearing when people are sort of starting to think about that already. So thank you very much.
It's our great pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. As I said, I'm excited. Have a fantastic week. To all our listeners,
Beautiful. Well,
we've gone a little bit of overtime, but we thank you, and to everyone, have a safe and prosperous week, and we'll be back again next Sunday morning. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.